You ought to at least surrender yourself to do just what the Lord would have you to do. And I know that God doesn't call everybody. Some people have to stay and help the church and do their part in the church. But I believe we all ought to pray about it and seek the Lord's will about it. But it is so good to be here with you today. I apologize that my wife is not able to be here. And she teaches school at the Christian school at our home church. And so she has to be there for work tomorrow. And so she stayed behind. They're having a special day. The kids are out of school tomorrow, but they have a teacher work day. And so Ethan came with me. Our oldest son, Seth, he wanted to stay there. He's 13. And he told me he would stay there and take care of Mama. So I know what that means, is he's going to think he's the boss. And she's able to show him real fast who it is. But it was funny last night. They're having a special day at our home church, and they're having lunch there as well. And so she was getting ready to do some baking, and she texted me and said, the oven's not working. And so we went through several different things. And next thing I know, she told me he was on YouTube looking for how to fix the oven. And I thought, and so I called him and I said, look, son, do not take anything off or out that you have to use a screwdriver for. He said, oh, I'm not, but just hold on a second. I got to get the hammer. I said, no. There is no reason for you to use a hammer on the oven. And so we went through that and left last night, and she just gave up on it. Well, she texted me this morning and said, the oven's working now. So I knew what was about to happen. It wasn't 2 minutes later that he texted and said, did Mama tell you I fixed the oven? I said, no, she told me it just started working. So I don't know who fixed it, but at least it's working now. But it is so good for us to be here with you this morning. This is a beautiful part of the world. I've told my wife before that if the Lord ever allows us to retire, we're just going to take a map of eastern Tennessee, and I guess between Murfreesboro and Knoxville, and just throw a dart and land somewhere. Because this is a beautiful part of the world. I love coming to this part of the world. We do serve with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and we're out of the old Sewanee Baptist Church in Buford, Georgia, and we serve as the assistant to the general director and also working with the media, and we have a display table set up in the back, and I'll tell you more about what we do this evening in the service. I don't want to take the time this morning to do it because he's already been talking about fried chicken. And so I know what some of you are thinking. It's not unusual for the preacher to be the one in the way of you getting to lunch. It's just unusual for it to be so close that you think about it so much. So I want to be aware of that. But we do have some magazines back there. We do the Focus on the Field magazine twice a year. And pick up one of those magazines, pick up one of each. We have prayer cards back there from our family. We have some different things. And so please pick up any of that literature that you would be interested in and take that with you and pray for our family and learn a little bit more about what we do at Macedonia and what's going on all around the world. And just some exciting things that the Lord has blessed us with and that we have going on, and I'm thankful to be part of it and thankful for what the Lord is doing there at Macedonia. Matthew chapter number 13, and we're going to read the first 9 verses there in just a moment. Again, it is good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for the privilege to be here. And Dr. Caudill did ask me to make sure and tell you all that he said hello and wanted to make sure you knew how much he appreciated you and how thankful he was for your friendship and your support in his ministry. Matthew chapter number 13, this morning we're going to turn our attention to one of the more familiar parables of the Lord's teaching ministry. I have no doubt that if you've been in church for any period of time, any length of time, you've probably heard a message preached from this portion of Scripture. But I want to place an emphasis this morning in a part that maybe you haven't heard before. And I trust the Lord will use that to be a help to us here on this World Mission Sunday, reaching our Jerusalem. And I trust the Lord will use us to be a help for you in just that area. Matthew chapter number 13, I'll ask if you're able to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come, Lord, into your presence this morning, Lord, I am so thankful for the open door that you've blessed us with this morning. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that you've given to us to be in your house this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would redeem the time. Lord, I pray we'd make the most of the time that you've blessed us with here. Lord, I pray for the next few moments of time you'd use me as your preacher. Lord, I realize that without your touch, Lord, without your help, Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, we don't come to hear my words. Lord, we don't come to hear my opinion because I have nothing to offer. Lord, we come to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray you'd give us that we stand in need of this morning. Lord, help me. Use me, I pray, that I might be a blessing and a help to this, your church and your people, Lord. Lord, we'll give you the glory for it if we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this morning. Of all the parables that the Lord Jesus taught, this is probably one of the most well-known because this parable teaches us so much about the heart of a person as you sow the gospel seed into their lives. We know that not every person you meet on the street as you hand them a tract, not every person will get saved. Not every person will read that tract. Not every person will get saved. They may not get saved right then. They may get saved years later. It may take a work in their heart. But this parable does teach us some things about the heart of people. They teach us about how people's hearts are have to be ready, I guess you could say, to receive the seed. And how I believe the Holy Spirit has to work on that heart and deal with that heart and prepare that heart that they might believe the gospel. And I realize that so many of the main thrust of this passage revolves around those types of soil and what is produced by that. But this morning I want us to take a few minutes and focus in a different area. I want to focus on the sower. I want you to look at the person who takes the seed and goes into the field and begins to plant that field. Now, not much said about the sower. Not much is said here in this portion of Scripture about the sower. Why? Just a couple of verses make mention of him. Just a couple portions of this Scripture make mention of him. But I believe as we look to the sower this morning, I believe as we consider the sower that's talked about here, there's a great lesson for you and I in the sower. And I want you to consider four things with me this morning about the sower. Four things from our Bibles this morning that I pray will challenge your heart as well as my own about being a sower for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my prayer today that our hearts will be challenged. Not just for the 7.5 billion people in the world, but I believe the brother said in Sunday school, the 250,000 people in Knox County, the people right around this area. If you want to reach the world, you start at home. If you want to reach the world, you start where you're at. And my prayer this morning is that God would challenge our hearts about reaching the world with the gospel. So many of the people all around us never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Somebody's got to sow the seed. There will never be a harvest until there, first of all, is a sowing. There'll never be a reaping until somebody takes the seed and goes into the field. But there'll never be a sowing until somebody gets up and decides to get busy. Consider four things with me this morning about this sower. Number one, the first thing I want you to notice is the recognition of the sower. The recognition of the sower. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Behold, a sower. As we're introduced to this man, we're not given his name. His name is not nearly as important as his job. His name is not nearly as important as what he does. We're given his occupation. He is a sower. According to the Word of God, that is his identity. That is who he is. He is a sower. More than he's a Robert, or more than he's a Mark, or more than he's a James, or anything else, he is simply a sower. He is known by the people around him as a sower. He's known by the people that see him every day as a sower. He's known by his family as a sower. He is recognized by his occupation. He's recognized by his actions. That is who he is according to everybody that knows him. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is who he is. He's a sower. When folks see this man, you know what they see? They see a sower. When folks see this man, when they look at this man, they look at a sower. When they talk to this man, they talk to the sower. I dare say that this man is so consumed with sowing that it now has become his identity. It's become who he is. He is, according to the Scriptures, in verse number 3, a sower. Behold, a sower. Now think about that and think about how that identity has taken over his life. And think about how that can translate to my life and to your life. Because when people talk to me and when people talk to you, what are they talking to? Who are they talking to? If they've got questions about a ball team, do they come to you? If they've got questions about politics or about hunting or about car mechanics, now I realize we all have expertise in different areas and we all have different things that we can teach others and we can glean from others as well. But when people see you, what do they see? When people talk to you, who are they talking to? When people think about you, what are you known for? More than I want to be just another guy, I want to be a sower. I want to be known as somebody that believes what he says. I want to be somebody that practices what he preaches. I want to be a sower more than I want everybody to know how much I know about sports or politics or any other thing. I want to know about sowing. We see, we have to realize that as believers, you're known for something. As a believer, you're known for something. As a believer, you're recognized for something. Do people see you as a sower? When people see you, do they know he's probably got gospel tracts on him? He's probably going to pass out some tracts today. He's probably going to share Jesus with somebody today. He's probably going to sow the seed somewhere today. When people see you, do they see a sower? And you know, not only are we as believers recognized by our actions, but the same can be said for our churches. Churches are known for different things. I guarantee as you ride by on your way to the house of God or as you ride by back home and you pass other churches, you know what? You're going to say, well, I know something about that church. In your mind, you may not think about it out loud, or you may not verbalize it, but in your mind, as you ride by the church sign, you're probably thinking about something that you know about that church. Now, don't you want your church to be known as a sowing church? Don't you want people in your community to ride by and know that that's a church that believes in the gospel? That's a church that believes in sharing the gospel. That's a church that believes in promoting the gospel. That's the church that gave me the tract. That's the church that sent a thing in my mail. That's the church that knocked on my door. When people ride by, they need to say, oh, I remember that church. I know that place. Listen, more than you need to be known for the and I'm not opposed to it. I believe they all have their place, but more than you need to be known for the sports programs and the fancy materials and the fancy videos and all those things, friend, you ought to be known as a sower. Your church ought to be known as a sower. That's a church that's getting the job done. That's a church that's getting the word out. We see the recognition of this man. This man's identity is found in what he does. He's a sower. So many places looking for their identity. Oh, I pray that our identity be found in simply sowing the seed. Simply sharing the gospel in our community. And not just in our community, but then around the world. We see this man's recognition. And notice also, again, we're not given a name on this man. This man's name is not known. It could be in the eyes of his neighbors that nobody knows his name. And listen, you can be the best sower in this county, and most likely, they're not going to know your name. But that's all right. Because there's a God in heaven keeping records. There's a God in heaven that knows your name. As Brother Phil taught in Sunday school, there's a God in heaven that knows you. Nobody else might know you. Nobody else might care about what you're doing. Nobody else might care about the seed going out. But there's a God in heaven that keeps mighty good records. We see the recognition of the sower. Behold, a sower. But then secondly this morning, we not only see the recognition of the sower, we see the responsibility of the sower. The responsibility of the sower. Now notice what this sower does. This sower knows that he has a job to do. This sower knows that he has a responsibility. His responsibility is very simple. His responsibility as a sower is to sow. And he takes that job very seriously. He takes his job very seriously. No doubt he is probably even consumed with sowing because he, as a sower, he has one desire: to get the seed into the field. That's his desire. That's his job. That's his responsibility, to get the seed into the soil. He wants to plant his crop so that he can reap the harvest at the proper season. And let me remind you, friend, this morning, God did not give us the gospel just to save us and then call us to sit. He didn't give us the gospel so that we could keep it to ourselves and shout about the blessings that we have. He didn't give us the gospel so that we might hold on to it and let it rot in the barn. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. His responsibility. Now, do you ever think that there was a day that sower woke up and thought to himself, you know, I really don't feel like sowing today. I mean, I'm tired. I know I need to get out there and sow, but I'm tired. I hurt from sowing yesterday. It's cold or it's hot. Or it's something, but it's not perfect, and I don't want to get out there. Do you ever think that there was a day that he woke up and said, I just don't feel like it today? Sure there were. Sure, there were days that he woke up and he didn't feel like going out in the field and sowing the seed. Sure, there were days that he didn't feel like hauling those big sacks of seed out and scooping up a big old handful so that he could sow the seed. Sure, there were days he didn't feel like getting his feet and his shoes dirty, no doubt, from the dust of the field. I have no doubt there were days that his muscles ached from heavy lifting and the hard work that he was doing. But you know what? That didn't change the fact that on this day, he got up and he did his job, whether he felt like it or not, because he knew that it was his responsibility. The Bible says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, can you imagine what his field would have looked like if he'd only sowed on the days he felt like it? Can you imagine what his field would have looked like if he would have sowed with the same effort and zeal that a lot of times we sow with when it comes to the gospel? Can you imagine what he would have done if he would have taken his responsibility to sow his field as seriously as I'm afraid we take ours sometimes to sow the gospel seed around the world? It would have probably looked mighty puny. It would have probably looked pretty pitiful. You see, how many excuses do we come up with to not sow? Well, it's cold. Well, it's hot. Well, I'm tired. Well, I worked all week. Well, I did this. But and we have all sorts of excuses and reasons even. I fear that the reason our churches are in the condition they are is because we just simply don't take seriously the responsibility that we've been given. Let me remind you this morning, the Lord didn't give us the great suggestion. The Lord didn't give us the great recommendation. He gave us the great commission and he left us with a job to do. He left us with expectations that we would fulfill those commands and that commission that he had given to us. When he said to us in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? He meant it. He wasn't just saying it to take time. He expected us to do that. He meant for us to be busy sowing the seed. When the Lord told us in Mark to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he expected us to take that seriously. He expected us to be busy. And the Lord said in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice that he said, both in. He didn't say pick one. He said, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He meant for us to do that. He meant for us to be busy. He meant for us to be busy sowing the seed. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. He meant for us to do it. You know what? World missions doesn't just begin across the sea. It begins across the street. It begins down the road. It begins in the subdivision. Hey, thank God for those that are going across the world, and thank God for those that are going across the sea, but don't think because you put a little money in the offering plate that that relieves you of your responsibility to be a missionary in your subdivision or down your street. World missions isn't just the uttermost part. Jesus said in Jerusalem, and he said Jerusalem first. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's where he's placed you. That's where he expects you to be busy. Listen, our responsibility, we're to go. Where are we to go? Into all the world. Mark 16:15. There's no place off limits. There's no people off limits. No people group is off limits. We're to go everywhere and tell everybody, and our going and our telling is to be a lifestyle. We're to be living epistles of what Jesus has done for us. We're to go. And what do? When we get there, we're to tell. Go and preach, Mark 16:15 says. Preach the gospel. We're not going to brag on ourselves. We're not going to brag on what we've done. We're going to brag on him, the one that saved us by his marvelous grace. We're going to tell him how he changed our lives. And the same thing that he did for us, he'll do for them. They may not do it the same way you do it here in Knoxville, Tennessee. They may not run the service the same way you run the service. But guess what? The same Jesus that saved you can save them. They might meet in a hut somewhere in Africa, but you can still see the same Jesus save their soul and change their life. They might meet out under a tree somewhere in the middle of the Amazon forest. The same Jesus that changed your life can change their life. He wants you to go and to tell what he's done for you. That's our message. You know, a lot of folks say, well, I don't know what to say when we go out soul winning. I don't know what to say when we go out passing out tracts. I just don't know what to tell people. Well, tell them what he did for you. You remember, right? I remember what he did for me. I was there when it happened. I experienced it. Now, it's not all about experience, because some days I don't feel the same experience that I did that day. But I want it to stay fresh. Oh, but I remember how he changed my life. I remember how he saved my soul. I remember how he picked me up and placed me on a solid rock. I remember what he did for me. And if I don't know anything else, I can tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Nothing but a low down, dirty, rotten sinner, worthy of hell and worthy of being in a place called hell. But Jesus paid the price for my sin. And I was pardoned, full and free for all of eternity. Surely you know that, and you can share it with others. Go, tell everybody. You say, what if I tell the wrong person? You can't.
Right.
So don't worry about it. It's not possible. You can't tell the wrong person. You ought to make sure that everybody you come in contact knows. Listen, I'm preaching myself under conviction. We ought to tell everybody. We ought to tell everybody what the Lord has done. You see, I'm afraid if we're not careful, a lot of times we take on the role of the Holy Spirit and we look and say, well, they're probably not going to get saved. Well, they probably can't do nothing. Well, I'm probably wasting my time on them. Just tell everybody and let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord take care of it. Tell everybody, and we're to all be involved in going and telling. That's not the job of a select few. That's the job for every one of us. The gospel is a message that can be shared by children and by adults and anyone in between. It isn't just for the preacher. It isn't for the missionary, but it's a command for each and every one of us. Go ye. If you've been saved, you've got a message to share. You've been saved, you've got something to share with this world. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. I know you've heard it because the pastor said it earlier. But the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. This church has no business being in business if you're not interested in soul business. You got to get out and go. That's our responsibility. That's what you're here for. You've been left here because you have a responsibility to fulfill. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. We see the recognition of the sower. We see the responsibility of the sower. Then number three, let me share with you the routine of the sower. The routine of the sower. We're told in verse 4, and when he sowed, you know what this man did? He fulfilled his responsibility. He got up in verse 3 to go out with the goal of sowing. And according to verse 4, that's exactly what he did. And when he sowed, he fulfilled his responsibility. Responsibility was to sow, and that's exactly what he did. He did what he was supposed to do. Now, consider some things about how he did his job. As that sower goes out to spread that seed, how's he going to do it? He's casting that seed everywhere that he can. He broadcasts it far and wide. He wants to make sure that every square inch of his field has been blanketed by the seed. You see, this sower wants a big harvest. And he knows that the only way to have a big harvest is to have a big sowing. And so he sows everywhere he can. His routine was to sow faithfully. He went as often as he could. He went out and sowed on a daily basis, I guess, just like he was supposed to. His routine was to sow faithfully, but his routine was to also sow bountifully. To sow in all the field. To sow in all of his field. Now I realize that as one person, you can't be everywhere. As one person, you'll never come in contact with all 7.5 billion people that make up this world. There's more people you won't reach than you can reach. There's more places you can't be than what you can be. But you must also realize that as somebody involved in world missions, you've got extra arms. You've got extra feet. You've got extra hands reaching into that seed and sowing it around the world. Isn't it amazing to think that when you go to bed tonight, and you pillow your head, and you've stopped all work for today, and you've stopped all sowing for today, that there's a missionary waking up on the other side of the world. And if you support that missionary, and if you help with the faith promise of this church, and you give to that missionary, when that missionary gets up to start sowing, it's just like you hand a baton off to him. And you say, all right, now you take it for a little while. And then he'll work, and he'll sow for a little while. And when he pillows his head, you'll wake back up, and he'll hand you that baton, and he'll say, all right, now you sow for a little. And your sowing efforts never stop. Your sowing efforts just keep going. And you know what you're doing? You're stretching yourself out to try to reach everybody everywhere. You're sowing in as big a field as you can. The field is the world, and you're sowing in as big a field as you can. You're sowing in as big an area as you can. You got to have a bountiful harvest, a bountiful sowing if you're going to have a bountiful harvest. You see, we sow bountifully when we're not only involved in it personally, but when we're involved in helping others to sow. I remember one Sunday, before my family went to work at the home office at Macedonia, we were with Macedonia. We've been with Macedonia World Baptist Missions. This will be our 14th year this year. But before that, we were church planters in South Louisiana. And we were there 5.5 years. I did all that we could to establish a work, and it just didn't do as we wanted. But I remember one Sunday in particular. Now, we'd go out and we'd knock on doors. I did some mail outs as money would allow. But I remember we'd go out and knock on doors. You talk about knocking on doors when it's hot. It gets hot down there, friend. Let me tell you, it gets cold too. People don't believe it when I tell them. South Louisiana is the coldest place I've ever lived in my life. What the humidity does for the heat, it does for the cold too. It just gets in your bones. But that's a whole other story. But I remember one Sunday, I don't know what all had taken place the previous week, and we were tied up, and I guess just didn't get out much and didn't get out on that Saturday. And so I remember that Sunday, we didn't have any visitors show up. Didn't have anybody show up at church, really. And I remember I was so disappointed and discouraged. And those are things you have to learn to overcome when you plant a church. And I thought, Lord, what in the world? Why is nobody here today? And it was as if the Lord spoke to me and said, well, I sent everybody that you invited. And I began to replay in my mind that I hadn't invited anybody that week to church. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, boy, that's a sorry missionary. You're right. But I began to think in my mind, I didn't hand anybody an invite. I wasn't able to get out much. Didn't go many places. It was as if God said, well, I sent in everybody that you invited this week. That told me something about sowing and reaping. If you're going to reap, you're going to have to sow. You're going to reap. If there's going to be a harvest, there's going to have to be some sowing. You may say, well, I don't have anybody come to church with me. How many people have you invited? How busy have you been for the Lord? Listen, don't be discouraged when the harvest comes up slim because you hadn't done your part. We see this man's routine. The harvest corresponds to the amount of seed that we sow. You want your church to grow? Sow. You want to see sinners saved in these altars? Then you're going to have to sow. You want to be involved in the Father's work? Then you're going to have to sow. Sow the seed everywhere. Sow the seed in every kind of soil and let the Lord give the increase. Well, I just don't think they'll be saved. Don't worry about what you think. It's up to us to sow. Let God do the thinking. We just do the sowing. Because a bountiful harvest is only produced by bountiful sowing. It was this man's routine. It was his normal reaction to sow. We've already said it was part of who he was. It was part of his identity to be a sower. And he took that responsibility to sow, and he took it seriously. And it moved him to get up even when he didn't feel like it. And to go sow. Even when he didn't want to, he went and sowed. And when he sowed, he did what was expected and he did what was required of him. We see this man's recognition. We see his responsibility. We see his routine. And then number four, we see his results. Notice finally this morning the results of the sower. Now as you read this parable, it becomes apparent that the sower lost some of his seed. As you read through this parable, it becomes apparent that some of it fell on soil that was unprepared, that wasn't ready to receive it. As a matter of fact, as you read the parable, the sower lost more than he gained. Out of the four types of soil, there was only one that was ready. Out of four types of soil, there was only one that produced a harvest. Three-fourths of what he put out was a loss. Three-fourths of what he put out didn't take. And so that asked the question, was he a failure? Will the Lord judge him for not performing his task? Oh, I believe quite the contrary. I believe quite the opposite. You see, this guy's job was to sow the seed. And that's exactly what he did. His job was not to guarantee a harvest. His job was not to produce the fruit. His job was to sow the seed. And that's what he did. He had no control over the soil. He had no control over the amount of fruit that each plant would produce. He was successful, and I believe he was successful because he sowed all of his seed and he sowed it in all of his field. He sowed all of his seed, and he sowed it in all of his field. Listen, as a sower of the gospel seed, we're not responsible for the seed, for the soil. We're responsible for the seed. This guy, if he would have looked, he would have told you that 3 out of 4 of those soils were pretty good looking. He would have probably told you that 3 out of 4 of those soils would produce seed. But he didn't see what was underneath. That's why we got to be careful not to try and judge people and say, well, I don't think they'll get saved. Well, this looks like a good candidate. Well, they don't look like. We don't know what's underneath. We don't know what God's doing in a heart. We can't judge. But this guy sowed all of his seed, and he sowed all of his field. He did what he was supposed to do. There may be times you give somebody a gospel tract, and they throw it away, and they never open it and read it. You can't control that. You can't force that. I used to tell people, you can't make people come to church. Then I would say, well, actually you can, but that's kidnapping and you go to jail. And I'm not ready for a prison ministry. You have no control over that. You have no control over who drives their car into this parking lot and comes in as a visitor. The only thing you have control of is saying, hey, I'm from Crossroads Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to come be with us sometime. The only thing you can control is, hey, would you read this? It'll tell you how you can know Jesus. I'd like to share with you the greatest friend you'll ever know. It's true that 100% of the people you hand a gospel tract to will probably not get saved. But it's also true that 100% of the people you don't hand a gospel tract to will not get saved. Isn't it a better chance to take? And listen, your church has made all the opportunities available for you. They've got all kinds of nice-looking tracts back there. I mean, just all sorts of good-looking ones. I picked up a couple back there. They've got nice things. We're without excuse. You're without excuse. This man was faithful, and I believe this man fulfilled his responsibility, not because of the harvest. The Lord's the Lord of the harvest, but because he was faithful to do what God told him to do. You see, when we've sowed all the gospel seed into the field of this world, and when we've sowed the field as completely as possible, when we've done all that we have been commanded to do, and then we can consider our work a success. You may sow and sow and sow and never lead anybody to Jesus. Now, I think he'll give you one every now and then. But you may sow and sow and sow and never. Does that make you a failure? Not if you've done what God's told you to. Some sow, some water, some harvest. Sometimes we get to do all three. Sometimes we do one of the three. But results belong to God. Results are his. Results are the Lord's. It's our duty to get out into the field and sow and let God sow the seed. There'll never be a harvest without a sowing. There'll never be a harvest unless the seed is sown into the ground. The farmer can have the most fertile soil. He can have the most perfect seed. He can have the best seed in all the world. But as long as the seed is in the barn and never gets in the soil, it'll never produce a harvest. There'll never be a harvest. There'll never be a harvest in your church unless somebody determines to sow the seed. You say, this is supposed to be world missions. I guarantee you, if you get a heart for your Jerusalem, you'll get a heart for the world. If you'll get a burden for Jerusalem, you'll get a burden for the world. The world's our field. The gospel, the seed. What are we doing now to go forth and sow? You see, a lot of times, and if we're not careful, a lot of times we'll ease our conscience and act like we fulfilled our responsibility because we sent a missionary to China to sow. We've sent a missionary to Brazil to sow. We've sent a missionary somewhere else to sow. Listen, that's not all your responsibility. Our responsibility, Acts 1:8, starts in Jerusalem, then goes out. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. We see his responsibility. He had a job, and he did it. Friend, God's given you a job this morning. God's given you a field. The field is that circle of influence you have. God's certainly given you the seed. He's provided everything you need to be busy. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? My prayer is that all of us would see the need, myself included, that we would see the need to be busy in the field. And that it would be said of us just like it was said of this man. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we